following program is a co-production of University of Illinois Extension and WillAg.org. It features Jonathan Kappas, Clinical Professor of Agricultural Policy in the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences, discussing the ARC and PLC decision during the Farm Assets Conference held November the 24th, 2014, in Normal, Illinois.
We're going to walk through sort of what we've got put together and how we're trying to help everybody sort through the decisions under this new Farm Bill. As you guys know, enough of the background, direct payments eliminated, a kind of substantial change in the farm programs, the Title I commodity support programs. And the big issue is that they require decisions by the landowner, decisions by the producers on the farm. And so walking through that and trying to sort those decisions out, no small challenge, no small undertaking. As Todd mentioned, this is a five-year decision that doesn't change, and so you're going to make it without any real knowledge of what's going to happen, prices and yields, over the next 5 years. And that's just the unfortunate reality. So what we're going to give is sort of an overview of how to walk through it, as well as links to or information about the online resources. Part of the effort for this Farm Bill is involved a cooperative agreement with USDA, with the Farm Service Agency, the University of Illinois, has led an effort on that in which we've developed online resources, and I'll show you a little bit of that here today as well, and then that gives you the opportunity to do this at home at your desk with your own farm's information and get a sense of the programs. The main website that we've created at FarmDoc, at the University of Illinois, we call the Farm Bill Toolbox, something simple to remember, easy to keep in mind. What we've designed here is what we hope is sort of your one-stop resource for all information about these programs, about the decisions, about the programs, including the online calculator. The web tool that I'll show you includes some of the spreadsheets that Gary works on to do more direct comparisons and kind of a host of different resources. You know, not everybody's going to use all of that. In fact, for your own sanity's sake, I don't know if I'd advise it. But different people might want a different way of trying to sort through the programs. And so we've got a lot of information, a lot of resources on this website, the Farm Bill Toolbox. It's kind of a long website to type in. It's real easy to find if you just hit Farm Bill Toolbox on a search engine. It usually is one of the first couple that pop up. And so just kind of starting through this, right, the thing we got to keep in mind is there are basically three different types of decisions that have to be made out of this Farm Bill. The first one involves the payment yields associated with that FSA farm. The second one are the base acres, whether or not to keep the current base acres as they are allocated or reallocate those. Both of those decisions, the deadline is February 27th, 2015. Both of those decisions are for the landowner only. The owner of that farm makes the base acre and payment yield decision. The third series of decisions then are these program choices, the program election. These are these wonderful acronyms you hear so much about: ARC County, ARC Individual, Price Loss Coverage, or PLC. The deadline for those program choices then is March 31st. So obviously we've got a little more time, actually we've got a substantial amount of time to kind of think through and sort through this, and more importantly, to get a sense of where we think yields are going to be in this year and prices, and we'll talk about that a little bit. I want to note up front that when I talk about a decision on the farm, we mean the FSA farm. That is that number from FSA. Many of you will have multiple FSA farms that you're going to deal with. That means you're making that decision by FSA farm, by farm number. You're going to make it one time by this deadline, and it's irrevocable for the life of this Farm Bill. As Todd mentioned, that's 2018 right now. It could be extended, which means that decision will run with it. The first thing that we talk about, and we're going to go through these, what we've designed are basically what we call the seven steps, step-by-step process of getting through these decisions, seven of them to go through. The first one is this one about collecting information. This is the easiest one, in part because FSA already sent you most of this information. You should have gotten a letter back in late July or early August from the Farm Service Agency. It will tell you their record of the base acres on that farm, the existing payment yields on that farm. They call them the CC yield. It will also include what they have on record as your planting history going back to 2008. That information you'll be using in the decisions. We also recommend getting your yield history in order for those farms. If you got crop insurance, That's the best thing, the best records probably to use. Making the decision that you don't have to bring that in to make this the payment yield decision. You just want to have it on record to help you run the calculators, but also should you're going to self-certify the payment yield decision if you're a landowner, but it's subject to spot check and audit. So you always want to kind of have that information available. So this is the first step. Collect that information, have it handy and ready to use. So the second step then is the first decision, right? Update or retain payment yields. So keeping in mind that you have a current payment yield associated with that FSA farm, it's historical, it's probably not been updated at least since 2002, maybe even older than that. So this is a chance to update that payment yield. It's listed on the FSA letter. You can keep that as it is, or you can update it to 90% of the average yields for that farm from 2008 to 2012. Again, this is a self-certification. This is a decision for the landowner, not the producer. The landowner is going to make this decision. And keeping in mind that payment yields are something that are only used in calculating payments under the price loss coverage program, but the decision's separate. It's independent from your program choice. So even if you don't want anything to do with PLC, you can still make the decision to update payment yields. And if they come out higher, and this is the easiest decision in the whole mix, if the updated 90% of 08 to 12 are higher, pick that updated payment yield, get it on record. Who knows what the programs will look like in 5 or 6 years. You might as well get your records a little bit more recent. So this one makes sense in that regard. It's an easy one to do. It's crop by crop. You can update soybeans and not corn if you wanted to, if, say, your corn yields didn't match up to your existing payment yield. And there is a plug yield involved in this, so the really low yield, say, from 2012 will likely drop out and be plugged by 75% of the average county yield in its place. So just you want to run through that and see. This is the first decision. The second decision is also for the landowner. This is the base acre decision. Do you want to keep the base acres as they're currently distributed across program crops on that farm, or do you want to reallocate them so that they align with what the ratio you've planted to those program crops from 2009 to 12? For this one, that FSA letter is the most important thing. It's going to tell you what was planted, what FSA has on record. That's going to determine the ratio, whether you would reallocate or not. This is not an update. When we talk about reallocating, you're going to have the same base acres on that farm coming out of the decision as you had going in. You cannot increase your base acres. You won't be decreasing your base acres through this decision. You're merely reshuffling how they're allocated crop by crop. In a lot of instances, we're talking about farms that may have, say, wheat base on them that haven't planted wheat in many years and have no intention to do so in the future. You can reallocate those wheat base possibly into corn and soybean base. Base acres matter because all the programs are going to pay on base. So you're going to use these base acres as allocated for the programs in the decisions down the line here. Unlike payment yields, this is an all-crop decision. You cannot update one crop and not the other. You cannot reallocate one crop, not the other, unlike the payment yields. A reallocation requires all the crops on the farm with base. It's for the landowner, again, only. And you have to have planted. We occasionally get questions when we do webinars and other meetings. Well, what if I want to re-update to reallocate to something I haven't planted? Doesn't work. It has to be on that FSA letter. It has to be recorded as having been planted in one of those years. Again, this is the reallocation decision. So that gets us through the first two steps, and I want to keep in mind those first couple of decisions are for the landowners. Okay, in that case, you're in a rental situation, you've got tenants, you're going to have to work with the producer to help sort out how to make that decision, but it's for the landowner. Now, as we kind of move through these decision steps, we get into the real challenging aspects, and that is which program or programs are going to operate on my farm, are going to operate on the base acres for my farm. And this is where these online resources get very valuable, because now we're talking about how do I estimate program payments, which program is going to look better for which crop on the base acres for this farm. And again, keeping in mind these are base acre programs, so what you're planting year in and year out is not necessarily going to determine your payments. It's you know, if you put corn base in one program, it's going to trigger whether you've, if corn triggers, regardless of whether or not you planted corn. So we're still keeping that that decoupled, that base acre situation that we've been operating under for many years. So we've got three different programs to sort through. There's ARC County, Agriculture Risk Coverage at the county level. There's a second ARC program, ARC Individual, that's using the individual farm. I'll go through details of these programs a little bit more. And then there's Price Loss Coverage. These are the three programs out of Title I in the Farm Bill. And you got to sort through them. And what we've tried to do, Gary and Nick and myself, what we've been trying to do is how do you break this decision down so it's not overwhelming and that you actually have some logical way to step through it. And so these next couple of steps then are sort of thinking about how you do this. So step four in our process then is let's start by just comparing the ARC County program, that's that county level revenue program, against the price loss coverage program. How do those two programs stack up? And there's some reasons why we start with them first. Like I said, ARC County's revenue base PLC is a fixed price program. So it's basically the countercyclical program from the last couple of farm bills with different prices built into it. But you're working off of a fixed price. Both of them, you can make these programs crop by crop. So you can mix and match. You could put ARC County on, say, soybeans and PLC on wheat if you have it on your farm, and ARC County again on corn if you wanted. So one of the reasons to kind of compare these two first is that you can mix them a little bit on the farm depending on the base acres. And then one big issue that came out in the regulations that we've tried to make sure everybody understands, the program decision is for the producers on the farm. Under that definition of producer in the statute, a landlord in a cash lease situation is not considered a producer. So if you are the landlord, it is your tenant who will make this decision. You will have no involvement in that decision unless the tenant or you guys work that out. But keep in mind, for the program choice, we're talking about the producers on the farm. Producers defined as somebody who's sharing in the risk, sharing in any potential crop marketed from that. In a cash lease situation, that landlord is not considered a producer. That does leave open the possibility that, as you recall, these choices don't change. This decision cannot be undone, reversed, or otherwise reconfigured. So it is entirely possible that the producer who makes an election on the program now won't be the producer a couple years from now. But the program will not change. The program choice will not change. You cannot change the program choice by changing producers. Much in the same way, if you buy a farm 2 years from now, you're buying the base acres on that farm. You're also buying the program choice that went with that farm by this deadline. So just keep in mind there are no ways out of the decision. And for cash lease landlords, that producer is going to make it for that farm, and it's going to stay with your farm no matter who your tenant is going forward. So again, we're in this point where we're trying to compare ARC County versus PLC. How do these two programs stack up next to each other? And so for this, we're going to try to avoid some of the math equations those guys make me do all the time, and just look at the basics of how the program operates. ARC County is a revenue program. If you look at the price, the way they deal with price risk in the programs, it uses a five-year Olympic moving average of those market year, those national market year averages. A five-year Olympic average means you're going to drop the high and drop the low the most recent 5 years. By comparison, price loss coverage uses a fixed price. For corn, that's $3.70 a bushel. For soybeans, it's $8.40. That will not change. ARC County could and will change over time because you're going to roll through the five-year Olympic average. So very different ways in which they calculate prices in the programs. The second aspect for ARC County is it is a revenue program, price times yield. It's also going to use a five-year Olympic moving average, this time of county yields, of the county average yields. Notice there are plugs in there. The reference price plugs into the price average. There's a 70% of the transitional yield from crop insurance that plugs in as well. PLC, however, will not calculate yields and whether or not it triggers. The payment yield that you could have updated will be used to calculate your payment, but whether or not a payment is triggered depends on whether you're below that reference price, right? So very different operational aspects. There's no, in other words, there's really no yield protection in the price loss coverage program. Finally, there's sort of what we call coverage bands or maximum amount of payments. In our county, that maximum is 10% of the benchmark. So 10% of that five-year Olympic average price times the five-year Olympic average yield. What this ends up operating at starts at 86%. So you've got to be, you trigger at 86%, and then you've got a 10-point band of coverage at the county revenue level. So you go from 86 down to 76%. That's where ARC County provides assistance when that county revenue moves in that in into that, that 10-point band, but it's only 10% going out. By comparison, the price loss coverage program is going to start at the reference price. When you're below the reference price, you're going to trigger a payment, and it's going to go all the way down to the loan rate, which for corn is $1.95. So it's a much wider price band, but you got to get below 370 in order to trigger it. And again, when I say get below it, that's not a Chicago Board of Trade price. This is the national average price received by farmers over the marketing year. 12-month calculated based on what the information they're getting from the elevators. Survey of the elevators are going to say what they're paying for grain, what the farmer's receiving, averaged out over the 12-month gets you the price that's used. So it's very different than the current prices we're seeing most likely. It's going to be a 12-month average. So that national average price is used to determine this, the payments. Continuing our sort of operational comparison to look at what it does for prices. Prices, because we're coming off of high prices in the last 5 years, and you can see them on the screen up here, going into what everybody's forecasting to be much lower prices, these programs are going to get triggered. The likelihood of triggering is going to be much of it based on where prices are going and what prices are going to do. So here, again, I'm trying to compare the operational aspects of ARC County versus PLC. This is how that five-year Olympic average gets calculated. Notice in 2009, we have a 355 market year average price. That gets tossed out and replaced with 370 because the reference price plugs in for any price below it. You still end up dropping it because that's the lowest price in the list. And what you do is you also drop the high from 2012, which is 689, and you average the three left. 529 then is your five-year Olympic average for the 2014 crop. That is the price that ARC County is going to use to calculate the benchmark and the guarantee to trigger a payment. By comparison, 370 is the price for PLC. You have to be below 370 to trigger that. So right off the bat, you see they're using very different prices in the calculation. Soybeans, you have the same kind of situation. The five-year Olympic average gets you 1227 as compared to the 840 reference price. So keep that in mind. But also don't lose sight of the fact that ARC County is a revenue program. High yields are going to impact that revenue calculation, which may impact the payment, whether it triggers, and how big that payment might be. But if you think about these and how they help with price risk, you see the very different situation we have starting off in 2014 between the two crops. And then here I've got links to some of the online resources we have. So Gary's put together a very good Excel spreadsheet type calculator that allows you to plug in exact yields and exact prices going forward. It's not a modeling, it's not an advanced sort of modeling effort. It's if you put in price yield, it's going to calculate the potential payment coming out of that for ARC County and PLC. So you can see that. You can move prices around, move yields around, and kind of see, particularly for this year, put in that really high yield number, the low price number, and you can see how that changes depending on where those numbers go. The other resource we have is it's called the Agriculture Policy Analysis System. This is the web-based online calculator or web tool decision aid, fsa.usapass.com. We'll get you there. You can link to it from the Farm Bill Toolbox. The two sites are interworking and interlinked, so you can jump back and forth between them. And this online calculator, here's the front page of it. You see just has a series of different buttons that will take you into modeled expectations for prices under the programs using some information you input, but also looking at historical data and trying to calculate out what prices and yields may look like and how the programs would operate under that. Just continuing how we think through PLC and ARC County, I got a couple quick sort of graphs to show you the price component of this. More importantly, where the price forecasts are that are used in the model and that are used in the discussion so far. And you see them here. Green is CBO. That's the Congressional Budget Office. White is USDA. And then yellow is FAPRI. That's the Food and Agriculture Policy Research Institute out of the University of Missouri. Each of them have forecasted prices for the next 5 years. They've forecasted national market year average prices. You can plug those into these tools, and they'll spit out expected payments. One of the reasons why we're using all three, not because we want CBO, not because we're going to say CBO is better, USDA is better, any of that. What you really end up getting with these different forecasts, CBO has forecasted much higher prices. And in fact, they were putting their forecast together back in the spring, so they were still seeing higher prices going out. You see USDA is much lower. FAPRI tends to be in the middle. So it gives you three different types of price situations. Nobody knows what prices are going to be, but if you look at it from a higher level versus a middle level and lower level, you get a sense of the programs and an idea of where sort of your decision is going to fall, depending on what range of prices. Again, these aren't perfect forecasts. They're certainly just a guess. And then you see the red dotted line going across there. That's your reference price, right? So the key component here is, for corn, USDA's got really low prices built in its forecast. It makes PLC look better from a payment estimate standpoint than the other two, which stay above that reference price. And once you're, if you're above the reference price, there's no payments going out. Soybeans happens to be a pretty easy part of this. If you think about the reference price at 840, everybody forecasting prices right now has all years of the forecast above the reference price. Again, they could be wrong, but if they're right or within that range, that means for soybeans, price loss coverage is not going to provide you any assistance because you're not getting below the reference price. So just a way to look at it. And just to put some context around it, obviously nobody around here is growing peanuts, but you can see how much price loss coverage operates, how differently it operates, say, for peanuts, where the reference price is always above the forecasted prices. So it's one of the components you think about as you sort through the programs and how they work with prices. So again, price expectations, that's the big key to this decision. Where do you think they're going to go for the next 5 years? You also want to factor in type of risk that you're thinking about. So, Arc County is going to provide you some yield risk. What ends up happening is Arc County is probably most effective for lower prices that aren't too low. And for, normal yields or within that trend range of yields, whereas PLC is only going to be effective in the really low price scenario. So that's a big part of it. You also want to keep in mind that 10% maximum and availability of SCO as well, which we'll get to. Soybeans, again, we're above that reference price, and wheat's a pretty close call if you've got wheat. Most of estimates right now are putting wheat as more effective in the price loss coverage program. So I want to make a break here then. We've gone through the first four steps. We've looked at payment yields, base acres, and in this first program comparison of the three programs you're going to decide among, we've looked at Arc County versus PLC and kind of how they're going to operate. Once you've gone through that and you got a sense of those programs, then we're recommending you take a step into the Arc individual program and just consider. See what it looks like on your farm and how it works. But I'm going to warn you, Arc individual is a much more complicated program, and it's always fun to explain. But it is a very, even though it's got the same three first initials, it operates in a very different manner. I've got some of that up here. Arc individual is farm level yields, but it's farm level yields for all program crops on that farm with base acre. You're adding them together. You're also weighting those numbers before you add them together based on what was actually planted in the year. So this is the one program in which what you're planting in a crop year will have some impact on the payments. Also, it works across farms. So it works across crops and it works across farms. If you have more than one FSA farm enrolled in ARC individual, it's going to add them together. So it's going to, if it's in the same state, it's going to add those together, so multiple farms. ARC County makes payments on 85% of the base acres for the crop, so 85% of your corn base. PLC makes payments on 85% of the base acres for the crop. Again, if you're talking corn, it's 85% of your corn base. ARC individual makes payments on 65% of all the base acres for all the crops on that farm. So right away, you see that there's a pretty significant difference. It's making payments across a lower number of the base acres and it's adding them all together. That's going to impact the size of the payment. So not to torture with too much of the calculations, here is an example for Arc County using corn and soybeans. The big thing here is you're going to calculate across to get you a revenue number. So your individual's farms, the farm's actual yields that mark your average price gets you a revenue number. Then you take the Olympic average of those revenues. Drop the high, drop the low. In the same vein with soybeans, you get an Olympic average revenue for each crop. You then have to weight them. So if in 2014, let's say those are yields and prices, I've planted 60 acres of corn, 40 acres of soybeans. I'm just working off 100 base acres. That puts the weights on these as I add them together. So 0.6 multiplied by the corn revenue, 0.4 times the soybean revenue gets you the benchmark that we use to set the guarantee. Again, your guarantee is at 86%. Again, it maxes at 10%. So same 86 to 76% coverage. Use the same thing on the actuals. You're going to weight those revenue numbers for corn in 2014 and soybeans in 2014 in this case before you add them together. You pay on the difference, the 86% minus your actual. In this case, it comes out to $15, and then you make that payment on 65% of those base acres. So that really determines a lot of, or that really ends up making a lot of the differences in how these work. Calculating across to the revenues is different than calculating each price and yield. So you're going to set a lower number. Particularly if you're adding it corn and soybeans, soybeans are going to change, is going to bring down that weighted average number. So our individual is going to start at a lower level, and then you're going to pay out at a lower amount of base acres. Doesn't mean you should just completely ignore the program. In certain circumstances, it may work, so we recommend that you consider it. And those are the three Title I programs, ARC County, PLC, ARC Individual. There is, just for fun, to make this even more complicated, there's also a crop insurance program that I think Gary talked about earlier that you want to consider, and that's the supplemental coverage option. The reason why we're throwing that in here, so you've gone through your ARC County versus PLC, you've considered ARC Individual, now come back and consider PLC or SCO because it impacts that ARC County PLC decision. The reason it does is because you can add this only with those crops enrolled in PLC or if they're not in the program at all. SCO is a crop insurance program. It's not Title I. It's crop insurance. It's going to use APH. It's going to use the projected prices that crop insurance uses. It doesn't use the five-year Olympic averages. It's crop insurance. You're going to pay premium. That premium is subsidized at a 65% rate, so it's a fairly high subsidy level. You're using your planted acres, not base acres. The trick with SCO is it uses a county trigger to trigger whether or not an indemnity is going to be made. So you have to have a loss at the county level. It's set at 86%, which is why you can't mix and match with the ARC programs because they would be the same type of coverage. But it applies that to your underlying crop insurance. So it is a combo deal, is a combination between a county trigger and the deductible range in your underlying policy. So the underlying policy is going to determine the bottom side of SCO. How far down does it go? It's going to determine the size of the payment you get out of SCO. And keeping in mind, you cannot have SCO and the ARC programs at the same time. Here's an example of that. If you think of a 75% revenue coverage, you see SCO starting at 86, dropping down to 75%. So that's the coverage band, the coverage range for SCO. Keeping in mind also, I think Gary talked about this, it is only available beginning with the 2015 crop year. And again, it's going to depend on whether RMA has it available in the county. But it's another component to this decision. This gets messy because SCO is a bit of a challenge for the calculations. Probably the best way to think about it, you're at 86% of the county, so the county's yields, the prices, that's going to determine whether or not a payment is triggered. Your individual policy sets the bottom side of that, so in this case, 75%. You're going to figure out what the loss is at that county level and get you what's called a payment factor. And then your individual farm's yields and those same prices determine the size or the maximum amount of SCO you can get. So you're combining the two. So the county's going to determine whether you get a payment, and then it's going to apply the size of that payment. It's going to depend on what your underlying farm yields are. So the reason this is important, here's just looking at corn at 80, 80 6% RP, so it's a slightly, you only got a 6% ban. The key then on SEO is if the county triggers, everybody in the county with SEO is going to get a payment, but they're going to get a different size payment depending on their underlying farm APH, right? Even if you didn't have a loss, that's going to happen. However, the flip side of that's also true. If the county doesn't trigger, but your farm had a loss, you're not going to get a payment because the county has to trigger, and then it's applied to your underlying policy. So again, when you consider SEO, you want to keep in mind those aspects. And that it's that idea of a county-based trigger that I think is very important as you sort out this program, because that's what you're purchasing, particularly if you think many of you are buying 85%. I mean, you're talking about 1% on top of it or buying down to make it a bigger SEO payment. What you're trading off then is the coverage at your farm level for this county-based trigger, but then you're applying that back to your farm level. So you're not actually getting that much more. But it is something to consider, particularly if you're not buying up at 85, or particularly in cases of wheat, where you can't buy up to above usually 75, and so it has a lot more potential there. And then the big comparison is, how does that look? How does price loss coverage plus the SCO, the potential indemnities from SCO, plus your individual insurance? So you're now wrapping insurance into this decision, although you don't have to have insurance, and there's no explicit tie between the two, but if you're thinking about how to make the decisions, you want to consider those. You're going to compare that versus, what does that look like? How does it stack up next to ARC County in my insurance policy, or ARC individual in my insurance policy? So just some of the ways to look at the programs. And then finally, the last step, seventh step, you've got yourself through it. You take a deep breath, and you've got until February 27th on the yields and the base acres, and March 31st on the program decision. So plenty of time. And certainly we're going to know more about county average yields before this March 31st deadline. And we expect to get the updated yields for the county program at the end of February. That's going to have a big determination of what ARC County will look like, size of payment, whether they trigger. We're not going to know the marking year average price before this decision's made, so that's going to be a bit of guesswork, but we'll have a better sense of it based on yields and where the marking year average prices are at that point in time. So you've got time to make the decision. Again, online resources are available. They're designed to be as easy to use as possible. But if you really want to dive deeper and deeper into it, there are more complicated aspects that you can do as well. And then we encourage you to go to the Farm Bill Toolbox for a whole host of information. We will also be doing webinars. We've done a series of webinars, about 6 or 7 of them now. They're archived. They're archived online. Some of them dive deeper into the programs, deeper into the decision matrix. We're going to be doing another series of meetings and webinars in the new year as we run up to this decision. So there'll be a lot of information available. You don't feel like you got to walk out of here today to make this call, but you can start getting familiar with it, getting an understanding of how they operate, what they look like, and help you get started. And again, the front page of the APAS online tool. The one thing I'll point out on this in the upper corner, the far corner up there in green, is called Sample Farms. If you just want to see the programs without entering in any real data and just run them in your county and pick one of the three price scenarios, this is the easiest way to get an estimate of the programs. It'll spit out, it creates a simulated farm. It's not an actual farm, so you don't have to enter in yields for the farm and planted acres or any of that. It's just going to create a farm based on the historic information in that county, and then run the programs through it and give you an estimate. And that's the other big caveat about all of this. Do not run the tools, write down the number, and then go out and buy something based on what you think a check is going to be. I'm telling you now, these are estimated payments. We have no idea what they're going to be. These are rough, well-educated, well-modeled guesses, but these are not guarantees. And so just keep that in mind as you sort through it, but it will give you an idea, particularly in different price ranges, what these programs will look like, which ones might be more effective, which ones might make the most sense, especially given where you think prices are going to go and how that's going to play out. But always remember, it's a 5-year decision. So what's happening right now is not necessarily the best way to make that decision. Think about what you need over the 5 years. Get some time for questions. No, the only way you can reallocate your base acres is it's determined exactly by what has been planted in that 2009 to 2012 crop year. So you cannot pick a number. That letter from FSA will tell you what they have on record for what you planted. That determines the reallocation ratio. You cannot just say, I want all corn base.
Right here.
Yes. So let me answer the first question, the second question first, right? His question was, if I'm in Arc County now, but I pick up a farm next year that's in Arc Individual, that farm stays in Arc Individual. The programs do not change. That farm's going to stay in Arc Individual because that's what's there for the farm after this. Your first question then was, help me again, the 50-50, right? So the program choice is made by producers. In a pure cash lease situation, the producer does not include the landlord. If the landlord is considered to be sharing in the risk and sharing in the marketing of that crop, so in your case, you said a 50-50 share, then you're being involved in that decision as well. Then everybody's got to agree and make the same decision by the deadline. And that's a good reminder that there are consequences for not making the decision by the deadline on the programs. So March 31st, if you don't have a unanimous decision, two things happen. The first thing that happens is you forfeit any potential payments in 2014 on that farm, gone. And right now it looks like some of these programs are going to make payments. The second consequence is, going forward, that farm will be deemed to have elected price loss coverage for every crop. So that means price loss coverage then is the only option on that farm. Also keep in mind that the program election is different than signing the contract to be in the program. You can make the election and choose not to be a part of it whatsoever and not sign the contracts. Those are going to be on a different date. That'll be April, May, June. The decision has to be done by March 31st. Right. Again, these are base acre programs, so they are decoupled from your planting decisions. If you have corn base, you trigger a payment on corn base regardless of whether you plant corn or not. The only requirements are the same things you had under direct payments and current programs, which is conservation compliance and some of those aspects as well. But it's a base acre program, not a planted acre program. Yes, sir. Yeah, so the question is there a situation where you wouldn't reallocate? Absolutely, right? And this is where the struggle is trying to understand what the programs will look like for each crop's base. So you're kind of two schools of thought on how you make the reallocation decision. You pick the allocation that's going to get you the most payments. So corn is more valuable in the program than soybeans, most likely. So typically we think if you can reallocate to increase corn, that might be the way you want to go. The other school of thought on this is, where do you think your planting decisions are going to be the next 5 years? They don't impact it, except that if you think you're going to be planting, say, wheat, you may not want to lose wheat base because you may want to keep some of that in there. You also may determine where the programs operate for some of those crops. So you need to think through the programs a little bit for the base acre reallocation decision, even though they're made at different times. But typically you're looking at which program's going to be most valuable for which crop, and then do I increase my allocation to that crop in the decision? But you're not adding base or any of that, so you're just shuffling them around, which means you're taking them away from something else. We typically get asked, what happens if I have corn, soybeans, and wheat? I reallocate to corn and soybeans only. What happens to my wheat base? Consider it gone. Don't expect it to ever come back. It'd take an act of Congress to recreate that base in some way, shape, or form down the line. So if you're only farming a couple out of the 5 years, or if you're rotating through crops, so your base only has 100% of one crop, you're going to enter those differently throughout the program or throughout the calculation. Understand, if you don't plant the crop, if you didn't plant the crop, then you don't enter that for the base acres or the yields, right? And it'll calculate it out. Keeping in mind for Arc County, what you're using in that five-year Olympic calculation is the county average yields, not your farm yields. So that's different. For Arc Individual, you will have to report yields going forward. It will use those. There are plug yields if you don't have it or you're missing information. There's a series of steps they'll run through about taking a similarly situated farm or looking at farms in the state, that sort of thing as well. So they'll find a way to plug that in most cases. But going forward on Arc Individual, you will have to report your acres and your yields, your production information.
What if everybody doesn't
so,
twice a program?
So under the statute, it has to be a unanimous decision by everybody, all the producers of record on that farm. If somebody does not agree, that's the consequences are the motivating factor to get to that agreement. If you can't reach an agreement and you cross the deadline without making the election, then again, you lose 14 payments and you're put into PLC going forward. So some way, shape, and form, you need to reach that unanimous agreement amongst the producers or across all the producers on the farm. There's no way to leave somebody out. I guess if that's what you're asking, you can't leave your brother behind and, you know, keep him out of it. Yeah, even if you want to. Powers of attorney work, should continue to work. You want to look at your power of attorney. It should have on it a box that you have checked that this power of attorney stays for current decisions and future program decisions. So if you have a power of attorney on file now, it should work. You may want to double check to make sure it's all the T's are crossed and I's dotted, but this does not require a new power of attorney. It should stay. I want to be careful not to give any recommendation on what to do in the decisions. That could get me in trouble with a few people. But when you look at how the programs operate and just think about the prices being used in the revenue programs especially, corn is going to be a more valuable crop in the program. Thus, if you can pick up more corn base, you'll want to run the numbers to be certain. But if you can pick up more corn base, so shift wheat to corn or soybeans to corn base, you're likely going to want to reallocate. If you're going to pick up more soybean base, it's probably not going to necessarily be the reallocation decision you want to make. But again, I would recommend you run through your farm's numbers and get a sense of that on your actual farm. Yes, there are payment limitations. There is a single cap of $125,000 from all programs that you're in. That also includes marketing loans, which we hope to not even talk about because, like I said, corn's $1.95 loan rate. That's another conversation altogether. But all your programs, so if you happen to have one crop in PLC and one in Arc County, they add them together. You can't top $125 on the farm. If you have a spouse who's enrolled as well, that will be double at $250. There's also an adjusted gross income eligibility requirement. If your AGI on a three-year average is above $900,000, you're ineligible for payments in the year. So there's both of those are involved, payment limits and the AGI eligibility. As we understand it, yes, that crop insurance yield can be. He asked whether or not if you've got two FSA farm numbers under the same crop insurance coverage, that yield should be used for both of those FSA farms. Well, the national average is just that. So it doesn't matter where you're at in the country. There's one corn national market year average price. And the 370 compares to that. And I understand your point. And he's asking about comparing what you market your crop for versus the national average market price. And from the program operation, the only thing that matters is that national average market year price. What you get for your crop does not matter because everything's triggered off the national average price. What you think about in that case is where you need to market, what your break even looks like, and compare that to the reference price and compare that to the Arc County program more than can you beat the national average. No, CRP does not count towards the $125,000 cap, just Arc County, Arc individual, price loss coverage, and marketing loans. So it is one. In the past, we've looked at AGI from a farm, non-farm situation. This is now just one AGI limit. So there is no farm income versus non-farm income distinction. It's one AGI. It's going to be based on how you file the taxes, but it's $900,000 farm, non-farm. It doesn't matter. It's one $900,000 limit. So he's asking if he transfers the farm later on to a nonprofit or to somebody else. The bottom line to answer to that is you cannot change the program decision once made. Once the deadline passes, program decision is locked for the life of this farm bill. So no matter who, transferring it, new tenants, reconstitution, anything you do, that decision runs with the farm. In the same vein that when you transfer, the base acres go to the transferee as well. So think of it in that frame. When you buy the farm or sell the farm, you're selling the base and the program decision with it. Or buying my. I'm sorry? So the question is, what happens if I have wheat? If you have wheat base on the farm, if you've not planted wheat from 2009 to 12, the reallocation decision, again, it's the ratio of what was actually planted on that farm that determines that reallocation. It will zero out wheat base and move it into corn or soybeans if that's what you've been planning on it. Well, I'll get out of the way. Thank you all very much. If you have more questions, please let us know. Go to the Farm Bill Toolbox to find out a whole host of other information about this. And stay tuned. We'll be running around the state and doing webinars as well to get out more information before the deadline. Okay. Thank you.